Brookie, one holiday down, two to go, and we are free of 2025.
Oh my God. Hallelujah. In the words of the Pentatonics.
Oh God. Oh yeah. This is the time of year. We're going to hear that on the radio.
I know, and I haven't yet.
Me neither. How was Thanksgiving?
It was good.
Any drama?
There wasn't any crazy drama. I told you, my mother-in-law ran a red light, tried to kill us.
She's like, damn it, it didn't work.
And then the next day, Ross said something about it, and she was like, I did not. We're like, come on.
I've been seeing that a lot about our parents' generation, just being like, that didn't happen. And it's like, I don't know if it's just we just are genuinely remembering two different truths. Mm-hmm. Or they're all just gaslighting us. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. But we eventually, you know, she was like, oh, okay, yeah.
You called the city for the footage of the traffic cameras?
Yes, yeah. And they willingly handed it over. They were like, please, yes, stop her from her mischief. But we went to this hotel in close to Phoenix. They had like a Thanksgiving buffet in their ballroom.
Ooh.
And it was $100 a person, did not include alcohol. I'm like,
what did it include?
Exactly.
A free phone?
And the food, unfortunately, wasn't great, but the vibes were good. I did like the vibe, and I'm like, okay, like this is nice. They had a band. They had a live band singing like Christmas music, and they were in the center of the buffet. So like the buffet tables were around the band.
I'm just picturing them literally on the table, the buffet table.
Yeah, I wish.
And they're like, can you move your foot? I wanted to get these mashed potatoes.
The mashed potatoes were good. And so was the pumpkin pie. Delicious pumpkin pie. Ugh. But yeah, how was yours?
It was good. It was, it's always spread out because with two brothers and their own families or whatever. But it was good.
You guys don't do one big one with everybody?
Brooke, this is not the space for
that. No, it is. Get your brother in here.
Every year. Well, they actually, so the brother whose house I'm at right now, they, since he and his partner have been together, he has told her that they would do a Thanksgiving just the two of them, and they've never done it because she has seven siblings. So it's always like big.
So she's the opposite of me. Essentially.
Literally the opposite of you. So they like came by earlier during the day in Thanksgiving and like we hung out for a little bit and then they came back and did their own thing. We had the choir director from my parents' church over and her husband and a random friend that I want to set up with my friend.
So they're both in Maryland though?
Yes. Hallie and this guy lives.
Hallie, yeah.
He actually lives in Virginia, but it's close enough in this day and age.
That's like,
it's like dating somebody in Santa Monica.
I was just going to say that.
All right. Family, we hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving holiday, whether it was full of family or full of peaceful alone time, both equally incredible.
Yeah.
But we have got so much shit to get into.
I know. Like all week I was like, oh my God, we would have been talking about that this week.
I know. So today seems to be all about law/law adjacent stuff. We've got Katy Perry's lawsuit against the former owner of one of her mansions. And then Eminem's legal battle against two Real Housewives of Potomac stars. And from there, we've got the latest on the Amy Schumer divorce rumors. And finally, updates on Zachary Ty Bryan's latest arrest. Mm-hmm. It's never good when you have to qualify an arrest as latest or most recent.
Yeah. When you start numbering them in a notebook, things are bleak.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into it. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
Grab a joint and a glass of milk.
Because this is Almost Fameless.
Okay. So astronaut and singer Katy Perry has been in the news lately with headlines that honestly have had me fighting for my life in the comment sections. And I do not appreciate being in a position of defending Katy Perry.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't know much about this except the headlines I've seen. So
So I'm going to we've got to do a little bit of backtracking to understand where we are now. So back in 2020, Katie and Orlando Bloom bought a home in Montecito, California for $15 million. I don't know if you remember this story, but a few days after buying it, the owner, Carl Westcott, tried to rescind the sale, citing his mental incapacity. So he claimed that he had been recovering from major back surgery and he was under heavy medication that left him too impaired to understand what he was signing. So at the time, there were a bunch of headlines. Katy Perry's taking advantage of this veteran. He's a veteran and an older man. He also pointed to having Huntington's disease, which he was diagnosed with back in 2015, as another reason that he wasn't mentally competent to sign into this sale. So, like I said, the headlines at the time were all about Katy taking advantage of this poor veteran man who was mentally incapacitated. But if you did a basic Google search, you'd learn this man is anything but poor. He owns 1-800-Flowers, and he only wanted to rescind the sale because he had seller's remorse after realizing he could have received more money for the property in the market, which was at the time 2020. Remember that huge market boom where houses were selling like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 over market price? People were paying in cash.
I thought that was still happening.
No, it's leveled out. And in a weird way, where I just saw an article that homes are being pulled off the market, like no longer being sold, but not actually selling higher than ever before. So I don't know what that means.
Interesting.
A crash is coming.
I hope for my own benefit. Right. Is that right? I'm not sure. I'm like, do I want a crash? Because if we're not in a crash, that's not working for me. So maybe a crash will.
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know anything anymore.
As someone who's crashing every day, what's one more crash? You know what I mean? Like,
I am in a perpetual state of just crashing out. Just like the market, maybe.
Yeah.
So, okay, so this was 2020. What followed was a years-long battle that I'm pretty sure we covered on Rich and Weekly or Rich and Daily at one point. Because I know, I thought we talked about this.
I honestly don't remember talking about it. So I don't know.
Well, eventually, Katy did get ownership of the house in May of 2024, following the judge's ruling that there was no persuasive evidence to back Westcott's claims and that he appeared to be coherent, engaged, lucid, and rational.
Wow. She threatened him with an icicle. And then it melted and there was no evidence.
It is the perfect crime. So she's now back in the news with this story because she's now asked for $5 million in damages, claiming over $3.5 million in rental value lost during the dispute, plus an additional $1.3 million for necessary repairs. So last Tuesday, November 25th, the judge in the case determined that Katy is owed a total of $1.8 million. There's a lot of, like, math for how they figured out that number that, if you really want to know families, go to Google.
Families.
I just can't possibly understand it.
Wait, what's crazy, though, I'm just realizing, a quick aside, we're calling them family as if we've discussed it, but we did that in the Evergreen, which doesn't air until next week.
Wow. So we're in the future?
We're in the future. So guys, we decided that what we're going to do is we're going to call you the family, which a couple people suggested in Patreon, which I love. Mm-hmm. And then if we're talking about an individual person, you're a famey.
Oh, right.
So the collective is the family.
Yes.
And if collective. I see you out on the street or at my veterinarian's office. I was so excited. I met my first Richie in the wild. It's never happened to me in 6 years.
I know. That's insane to me. Well, it's not that insane because you don't leave your house.
I know. It would be a vet.
It would be a vet. Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Everything
but I loved
that.
Her. It's so funny because before I even knew that, I was like, she's the best vet we've seen here because they have a bunch of vets. And I was like, I really like her. And I was like, and I said to her after she told me that she listened to the shows, I was like, I just know my people, I guess. Like, I just loved her. So,
yeah. Good vibes.
Yeah. So that's why we're calling you the family.
Yeah. Great backstory. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So, okay. So, like we said, Katy got awarded $1.8 million. And what's crazy are the headlines. So I got to go through these headlines. When I was doing research for this story, Katy Perry sues dying veteran. Katy Perry to receive $1.8 million from dying veteran in property dispute. Mm-hmm. Katy Perry's legal victory as judge orders disabled veteran to pay singer nearly $2 million over Montecito mansion. And then finally, Katy Perry files $5 million lawsuit against elderly disabled veteran. They love to just lean into this guy being a veteran mm-hmm. and being disabled. When, if you do some digging, you look into the court records, mm-hmm. this guy did quite a few other deals when he initially sold this house to Katy Perry. And he wasn't saying he wasn't mentally competent for those. Mm-hmm. He actually bought the house 6 weeks before he sold it to Katy. So he bought it to flip it. It was not a sentimental family home. Some of his family members, which you might know, one, she's on Real Housewives of Dallas or was on it. Did you watch that one?
No, but what's her name? I maybe have heard of her.
Cameron Westcott.
Oh, yeah. I have heard that name.
His son, this guy's son, is married to Cameron. But it's just, it's one of those things where all of these headlines are making Katy Perry into this huge villain when essentially it's two rich people fighting over money.
Yeah. Well, is he actually dying?
I guess. Who isn't?
But, like, is he super ill?
Well, he has Huntington's disease.
I don't know what Huntington's disease is. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, honestly, those headlines are accurate, though.
Yeah, they're not inaccurate. They're just salacious and biased.
But... and usually I do agree with this, and they are, like, they're playing into the fact that he's old and disabled. But they are just listing the facts, and the salacious part comes into our opinion of Katy Perry.
Well, if this guy was Jeff Bezos, who was dying of Huntington's and was described this way, I think we'd have, we'd be like, it's fuck this guy.
Yeah. I mean, fuck him either way. I'm just saying the headlines themselves. It's interesting.
They're being... it's being framed this way because it's like, why are we qualifying this person this way to elicit a certain reaction?
Well, and because we don't know him. Like, if they said his name, we'd be like, who the fuck is this guy?
I know.
Whereas if it were Jeff Bezos, we'd be like, oh. But if they called Jeff Bezos, like, dying old bald guy lost his warehouses, we'd be like, why aren't you just saying Jeff Bezos?
Well, and it's also one of those things where it's like, why don't you say owner of 1-800-Flowers?
Yeah.
Because nobody would care about that. They'd be like, okay, wow, two rich people fighting over a property and they already have so many properties in their names. How
sad. He asked them not to. He's like, please don't mention 1-800-Flowers. I'm not proud of anything, really. And I would just rather say you say disabled veteran if possible. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's two rich fucking assholes fighting.
It really, I mean, that's what it comes down to.
And she didn't have to keep going, though. She could have gotten the house and that was fine. And she's like, well, I have to sell you because I couldn't rent this out and make more money.
Well, that's what I don't understand is I'm like, why the fuck are all of these people doing this? Like, I can understand having, if I was like uber wealthy, it's like I would have, you know, a house on the West Coast, a house on the East Coast, and maybe a couple of penthouses in big cities.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And just like she, I like in researching this, she has another house in Montecito that she bought like 6 months later or something. And it's like, why do you need this much wealth? You're not living in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the story of Katy Perry basically trying to murder a poor disabled veteran.
Yeah.
Who has a lot of money. And the pictures. Oh, my God. The pictures are always Katy Perry in, like, one of her absurd getups, and then this guy in a hospital gown in a bed. And I'm like, you fuckers.
That is
like,
really
come
funny.
Come on.
Yeah. That's hilarious. All right. Yeah. Well, that's why you got to go beyond the clickbait headlines.
You really do. You really
do. Yeah. All right. Let's get into another legal battle that also started years ago.
Also involves...
a Real Housewife. Yeah.
I was going to say Real Housewives.
And a music person. Musician. I mean, neither of these two are musicians, but music moguls. Whatever. So Eminem is currently in a legal battle with Gisele Bryant and Robin Dixon from The Real Housewives of Potomac. And this dates back to 2023. I was not aware of that. Because it's just reigniting. So a little context. Robin and Gisele host a podcast together called Reasonably Shady. And in 2023, they filed paperwork to trademark the name of the show, but Eminem sued them over the trademark attempt, and he's arguing that the podcast name could lead to people thinking that there's some association with his brand. because we know him as Slim Shady and Shady and whatever. And this is not the first person that he's done this with. Anytime someone uses the word shady, he's like, oof. So he's actually, he's suing the dictionary as well.
And trees.
Yep. So in November of 2023, Giselle and Robin filed a motion to depose Eminem, citing the need to question him directly on the case. They were like, we have some questions. We got to talk to him.
Oh my God. That's the perfect way to get FaceTime with celebrities.
Yeah.
What can I depose Ryan Gosling for?
Being too sexy?
Yeah. And it's made my life difficult.
Yeah.
And repercussions need to be experienced.
Yeah. So the following month, in December 2023, Eminem's legal team filed a protective order to prevent his deposition and argued that his involvement was limited. They were like, he's only invented the word shady and that's it.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Before he came along,
yeah,
people would like have glasses and they were like, I don't know what this is doing to my eyes, but I like it.
Exactly.
They didn't know what to say.
Right. So 7 months later, in July of 2024, a court actually ruled in favor of Eminem and said he didn't have to show up for the deposition and his manager could go instead.
Damn.
So in November of 2024, Robin and Giselle filed another motion to depose Eminem.
They're obsessed with him.
They're like, wow, this plan really backfired. We're just big fans.
Yeah.
So it was kind of quiet after that. Mm-hmm. Until now, which is all the headlines that we are seeing. So Robin addressed the legal battle at this year's BravoCon.
Oh.
Everything leads back to BravoCon always.
It
all the
really
drama.
Does. All
and
roads.
She said that Eminem is still being shady.
TM.
She actually said those words. I know. And he's like, well, add that to the lawsuit. She's out here just using the word willy-nilly.
Yeah. She's out of control.
So she said, we're still going down the road with the lawsuit and we're fighting it. We're going to win at some point. Isn't that crazy? It was so crazy when I got the email from our lawyer like, oh, Marshall Mathers is suing you for your trademark. I'm like, what? So last month, Robin and Giselle filed documents explaining that the United States Patent and Trademark Office ordered Eminem to be deposed. Now they're saying that Eminem is being difficult about scheduling the deposition. So I guess they all agreed on October 29th, and then Robin and Giselle suggested 11 a.m., and Eminem said he wouldn't be available until 2 p.m.
This is like us coordinating recording sessions.
I know.
Especially with guests.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess the legal teams have been emailing back and forth, and Eminem's attorney said to their attorney, getting him to commit time to a deposition is very difficult, and we suggest that you take the opportunity when you can get him. So they didn't like that. They were like, ugh. So apparently Eminem is also trying to make sure the deposition doesn't last longer than 2 hours.
Good. I wish I could do that for my work meetings.
I know. So his attorney did say, if for some reason you cannot complete the deposition in 2 hours, we will stay as late as we have to. But just know we'll be pissed.
I do not want to piss off Marshall Mathers.
Absolutely not. I'm like, what am I going to get embroiled in a rap battle with one of the greatest rappers of all time?
Yeah, and unfortunately, yeah, I wouldn't win. It'd be bad.
We know. You didn't have to qualify that.
Fuck you.
So Giselle and Robin apparently were like, no, 2 p.m. is unreasonable.
Oh my God.
So last month, now this is why we're hearing about it again. Because all the headlines are like, Eminem is saying that they're harassing him. So last month, his legal team filed a response saying that the lady's refusal to cooperate and insistence on filing a motion over a 3-hour start time difference proves that their pursuit of this deposition is designed to harass. Mm. He also does own the trademark Shady for merchandise use. But so what?
When you said their podcast name, I did not immediately think of Eminem.
No.
And I'm a huge Eminem stan.
Oh.
One of his songs.
Well, he's the reason we say stan.
Is he?
Because of his song Stan, being a crazy fan.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. Dear Slim. Yeah, I... this is absurd.
I hate to be on their side.
I know. I do,
too. I love Eminem.
Yeah.
But he's being ridiculous.
It seems like... And he's also being exactly kind of what I would expect. I think it's absurd that he filed this in the first place.
Yeah.
But the time discussion is just insane. It's like, I can't make 11. How about 2? Well, we can't do 2.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's almost like they're just nitpicking each other at this point mm-hmm. to be difficult and have the final say in something.
Yeah. It's like when a couple is like pissed at each other and then they just get all like pissy about everything.
Yeah. Damn. So I don't know. This battle's still ongoing and essentially they hate each other.
I think there should be a website that just lists every celebrity currently involved in a lawsuit.
Oh, my God.
I bet it's almost all of them.
We should do it.
We should. Because it's just insane. They're all so litigious because they have all the money in the world.
I know. And nothing better to do.
It's like, I just can't imagine caring. When you're like Slim Shady, like you're so established.
Yeah.
Nobody's mixing Slim Shady up with Partly Shady. Or what is it called? Almost Shady?
Reasonably Shady.
Reasonably Shady. God. And so are they still recording on this podcast?
Yeah.
So.
They just haven't trademarked the name. He's not. I don't think he's saying that they can't use the name. He just can't trademark it. Or they just can't trademark it.
Hmm. Interesting. So they can't make money off like putting it on merch maybe?
Maybe.
As if that's going to stop us from putting Almost Famous on merch.
I know. Do we have to trademark it? Like, who gives a shit? I can put whatever I want on a t-shirt.
Put TM after it. That'll stop them.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Yeah. So there you have it.
I really don't like having to be on the side against Eminem, but.
I don't either. And I don't like not being super pissed at Katy Perry.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I still am. At least that one, I can be mad at both of them for being idiots.
Yeah. 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 Well, here's somebody we can be mad at.
Okay.
Amy Schumer. I just don't like her in general. She's just made some poor choices. But we're talking about, you know, the speculation that her marriage to Chris Fisher is coming to an end.
Uh-huh.
So she and Chris got married in February of 2018. They have a son, Gene, together. And there have been a lot of rumors. This is all still speculative, mm-hmm. of course. But there have been a lot of rumors about her and him separating. Yeah. And they started after she scrubbed her Instagram, though most of the rumors at that time were more related to her weight loss, where they mm-hmm. were like, she doesn't want anybody to see her with extra weight on her body.
Which is just now, insane. It's like, okay.
I do think it's so weird when people erase, like, their whole feed.
I know.
Or, like, their whole, like, pictures.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, it's who you were at that time. It's like a fun time capsule. But, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm not as fucked up as I thought I was.
Yeah, that's it. That's the takeaway.
So Amy addressed speculation around why she deleted the majority of her Instagram feed. She said that she did so because she wants the world to see how strong and beautiful she is after losing weight and improving her overall health. So it's not related to her divorce or relationship with Chris.
But it is about her body?
Apparently.
Okay.
But sources chatted with the Daily Mail, the most reliable source out there.
Yeah.
And a source said, Amy is 100% getting divorced. She got skinny. She is over it. She deleted Chris from Instagram, then deleted everything else. She's going to file soon, but it's over. Done. And that's the direct quote. Just that she got skinny, she is over it, is taking me out.
That is so absurd.
It's like the Daily Mail sources are somehow becoming even more unhinged.
Do you think they have these sources come into the office, they give them cocaine first, get them all jacked up, and they're like, she's 100% done, she's skinny, she's getting divorced. And they're like all just crazy. And they're like, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. You want to talk about a source doing cocaine. So this source, this Daily Mail source, also claims that Chris is mostly out of the house at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is all due to Chris Fisher's autism diagnosis.
Right.
He has apparently been freebasing Tylenol like crazy.
Oh, my God.
So he's now autistic. Just kidding. So apparently, according to this source, because of his autism diagnosis, he doesn't even get her jokes, which is detrimental to their relationship since, quote, being funny and making people laugh is important to her. So there you have it, folks. They're breaking up because she's skinny and he doesn't get her jokes. Which, honestly, the second one I can understand.
I mean, I can understand that, too. But I don't think he just all of a sudden became autistic. Has he never gotten her jokes? Like, That doesn't make any sense.
No, he did. Autism didn't exist.
That's true.
He did just become it.
That is a really good point. Well, I guess 99% of Instagram is autistic too, because if you look at her comments, people don't love her.
Well, so in response to this absolutely scathing and 100% true and verified source, a different source did admit to People that although Amy and Chris are privately working through normal issues that couples in long-term marriages have, they are, at the end of the day, both committed to the relationship.
Okay. Phew.
Now, there were more rumors, though, because her most recent carousel on Instagram, she isn't wearing her wedding ring. Which we got to stop using that as an indicator.
I know.
Maybe if you're a celebrity, you just have to wear it even if your fingers are swollen. And well, it hurts.
I mean, her pictures are also in her house.
Right.
Because she always, her new thing is like posing on that staircase.
Yeah, why is she obsessed with those stairs? Like, some of them, it looks like Law and Order SVU pictures of, like, girls that have been taken. It's like she's, it looks like she's being posed by, like, a kidnapper. It's weird.
Yeah, they are weird. I mean, she looks great, but the carpeted stairway in every photo is like, what are you doing? And it's like the same pose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you said she posted something that got deleted.
Last night on her stories. Did it get deleted or maybe it just timed out because it was on her stories? But she like had said all this. She had all this text covering her story. And they were like overlapping. So they were hard to read. But she was like, I don't get Botox. I didn't lose 30 pounds. I lost 50. I had a disease that makes your face puffy. It's cleared up. Chris and I don't know if she, I don't know exactly what she said there, but she's like, it has nothing to do with autism or weight loss. I hope we figure something out because he's great or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because on Monday she wrote, whatever ends up happening with me and Chris has nothing to do with weight loss
or autism. Yes. Yes.
So the Daily Mail, they got to talk to that coked up source. She did also say, fingers crossed we make it through. He's the best.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah. I just looked it up.
Yeah. So, I mean, listen, I've never really disliked Amy Schumer. I sometimes I think she's funny. I know she's, current events aside.
Yeah.
Because that's like the big thing right now for me and probably you. But for a lot of people, I just think they don't like her and they don't think she's funny.
Yeah.
Like that's been the consensus for quite some time prior to any of this.
She's the comic that a lot of people seem to dislike just to dislike her.
Yes. I don't remember the point I was trying to make when I said all of that.
Well, I don't know if this is it, but it's like whatever is happening when you're in a marriage, it sucks when you're going through shit and it's publicized like this.
Yeah.
So whatever the outcome is, it's just got to suck. It's like you're doing whatever you're doing for your body. Mm-hmm. And you're also going through whatever you're going through with your husband and your marital stuff. It does have to suck to have it all like splashed and have to go and be like, it's not because he's autistic. It's not because I'm skinny. Come up with different reasons and better ones.
Well, I think that's what I was going to say. Like, I do commend her, I guess, for anytime something like this happens. She does address it. Like, she'll post something on Instagram about it.
Yeah,
but also part of me questions how authentic those posts are and what she's saying. Like, obviously, we just are taking her word for it, but
yeah,
I prefer that to people saying nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I mean, we have talked about this since the beginning of time, but the discussions about her weight, are just insane.
I mean,
she's talked about having Cushing's disease, her diagnosis. And she did say, she's like, sorry for whatever feeling it's giving you that I lost that weight. She did talk about that she's had plastic surgery over the years and that she's taken Mounjaro. And she said, sorry to anyone that lets down. And it's like, it's just so, there's such complicated feelings with this. We've talked about this all the time. And I find it interesting that she says that because it's like, you don't owe anybody anything when it comes to your body. But I do understand that there is this like feeling, I guess, of responsibility when you're in the public eye like that.
Yeah. But when it comes to your health and your body, like, you don't, nobody owes anybody anything. And like, mm-hmm. we worry about yourselves, I guess, you know, if you have feelings yeah. about someone's weight loss, those are your feelings and maybe look into those.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Enough of that. Let's get into more legal stuff.
Great. Thank God we're learned. Thank God we're lawyers, basically.
Did you say thank God we're learnt?
I almost was about to say learned lawyers.
Oh.
I was thinking of learned doctor.
I thought you were like doing slang, like, thank God we're learnt. And I was like, okay, I don't hate it.
Should I?
Yeah. Should get, there's a merch idea and we don't have to trademark it.
Thank God.
Because Eminem never said that word. So it's, we're good.
He's the only one that comes after trademark violations.
Yeah. Okay, so Zachary Ty Bryan, we all know him from playing Tim Allen's son on Home Improvement. Did you watch that
mm-hmm.
show?
Mm-hmm. Off and on, not like yeah. religiously. He was yeah. the older brother, right?
Yes, he was the older brother.
Yeah.
So he's been going through it the last couple of years. He walked away from acting many years ago. He blamed JTT for being too good looking.
I get it.
Yeah. He was like, maybe I was on like a handful of walls, but those people were the outliers.
Yeah.
Those were the black sheep of the family.
They were the ones who hadn't gotten their eyes checked for vision yet.
I mean, he wasn't a bad looking kid, but you're going to put him next to like the heartthrob of our generation, JTT. It's not going to go well.
JTT had a vice grip on the millennial population.
I know. I know.
And I'm rewatching Smallville and he's in it. He's in like two episodes. And I'm just like, what was going on there?
I don't know. But I don't know. I'm willing to bet, and maybe this is high, but we're not playing the game Guesspionage, so it's okay. I'm willing to bet 95% of straight millennial women and gay millennial boys, men, had a JTT poster on their wall. Yeah. If you were out, I guess.
Yeah. Mine
back
was
then, who knows?
Got Milk one. But yeah, I had one.
Yeah. Well, we had the Got Milk one in our
yeah
promo. He was just everything to us. And I don't know why. But enough about him, I guess. It's even about yeah. him. I'm like, what are we even talking about? So Zachary Ty Bryan.
See, poor Zachary Ty. He can't even.
I know.
Episode where we talk about him. We don't even talk about him.
He's like, I can't even go to jail. Without that beautiful co-star of mine coming up.
It's got to be heartbreaking.
So Zachary Ty Bryan has been pretty open about his struggles with alcohol abuse. And mm-hmm. he had a hard time finding work in the aftermath of being a childhood star, I guess. And that has not helped his relationship with the law. Let's say that. So Zachary has been in and out of jail a couple of times over the last few years. So let's just start back at the first one.
Okay.
He was arrested. Another legal story that dates back to the early 20s.
Stop it. Oh my God. This just tells you how complicated and long our judicial process is.
I know. So he was arrested in October of 2020 on a felony charge for strangulation and a misdemeanor charge for assault and interfering with a police report. Oof. Then in February of 2021, he pled guilty to two counts, menacing and assault in the fourth degree, constituting domestic violence. So in 2023, he did an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and he said that that incident was blown out of proportion. Mm. He said, we didn't even really get that physical. That physical. We got really loud, we were screaming, and because we were in a townhome that had thin walls, everybody could hear. At the end of the day, the police throw a bunch of counts at you because they ultimately want you to plead to something. I could have fought it, but that's more stress and drama. I got two misdemeanors and called it a day.
I don't know. If I didn't do something, I'll fight it.
Yeah.
Call me crazy.
I know. So, he didn't call it a day because a month after that interview was published, he was booked on charges of felony assault, third degree robbery, and assault.
Oh my God, robbery.
Yeah. So he pled guilty to felony assault in the fourth degree later that year, and he was in jail for 7 days, and he had 36 months of supervised probation. Then the following February, he was arrested again on a felony DUI charge, which was not his first DUI, and a misdemeanor contempt of court charge. Then in October, he was arrested on charges of driving under the influence and driving without a valid license. Then this past January, he was arrested in Myrtle Beach, and he was charged with second-degree domestic violence, which brings us up to this past Saturday.
He's also, this is all happening, like, across the country, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was in South Carolina. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
the rest of them, I'm not really 100% sure. But so this past Saturday, he was arrested with his girlfriend, Johnny Faye Cartwright.
Stop it.
I can't not say her name that way.
What is it? Say it again.
Johnny Faye Cartwright.
Johnny Faye Cartwright.
Johnny Faye Cartwright. Johnny Faye, you get in here right now, Johnny Faye. How can you not say it any other way?
Easily.
Try.
Johnny Faye Cartwright.
Oh, so she's British?
It's amazing what an accent can do.
And did you notice Cartwright was the only word you could really do it on? Because the other two are so fucking Southern, it's impossible to say them fancy.
Johnny Faye.
Nope.
Forget it.
Yeah.
I'm out.
So somehow, they were both arrested for different things. So Zach, I hate to laugh. It's sad, but
I know it is sad.
I'm high, so that's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Somebody else put the drugs in your mouth.
Exactly.
Dare didn't warn you about that, did they?
Mm-mm. Officer Dom Sircone was not clear about it at all.
Dom Sircone is 100% getting payments under the table from somebody.
Yeah. Okay, so Zach allegedly violated probation from that domestic violence conviction from January. And Johnny Faye has 5 separate charges.
Oh, my God. Wait, from this same incident?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 count of driving under the influence, 3 counts of reckless endangering, and 1 count of attempted first-degree assault. How do you attempt assault? How do you attempt assault?
You go, like, you punch.
And miss them?
Yeah.
And they duck?
Yeah, that's probably better than actual assault.
No, I know. I'm just saying attempted assault seems strange. As where, like, attempted murder, you could harm someone and they don't die. But attempted assault, it's like if you assault someone, you assault someone.
Yeah, it's probably like I'm coming after you with a lead pipe and you run away.
Yeah, I went wrong. Okay. All right. That's fair.
Maybe that's it? Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a violent person. And I stay within the limits of the law.
Yeah. Just like Dom Sircone would have loved. So Zachary was being held without bail, and he's supposed to be released today. So, I mean, as we're recording, I don't know.
Thank God.
So we'll see. So that's that. That's that on Zach.
Damn. Let's just say JTT would never. And I'm sorry to say that. ZTB, but JTT would never.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a mess.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Quickies. We got a few. Mm-hmm. We'll jump into them. Miley Cyrus is engaged.
Yeah. To Max Mirando. They've been dating for 4 years.
Yeah.
I love that for her.
He's in a band?
I don't know. I don't know that man.
I don't know him.
I don't know him.
Mariah Carey style. Yeah. I'm glad. She seems happy with him.
Yeah.
I saw a video of them. I don't know if she was doing a tour or something. And he was just, like, walking behind her, carrying her stuff. And I was like,
Yeah,
that's a good dude.
Yeah.
And then our Dancing with the Stars favorite.
Yes.
Whitney Levitt is going to be on Chicago. Is this a normal pipeline? Didn't the same thing happen for Ariana Maddox?
Yeah. But Ariana won Dancing with the Stars, even though Whitney is my winner.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for her. I'm like, I know people don't like her and
they
are still
like
bitching about whatever. Her fucking, the final dance that they did on Call Her Daddy was so good. She's so fucking talented. Like her or not, you can admit that she's fucking talented. So shut up about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is talented. I'll give you that.
But yeah, she's going to be Roxy on Broadway. So yeah, maybe it is going to be a trajectory. Maybe Alex Earle will get it. Get to do it too. She also deserves it. She's a great dancer.
She is a great dancer. And a lot of talent being, like, they got stronger throughout the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was fun to watch.
Agree. Yeah.
So Megan Thee Stallion won in her lawsuit against the blogger Milagro Grams, who she accused of being a mouthpiece, a puppet, and a paid surrogate for Tory, the guy who shot her back in 2020.
Yeah.
So I think that I was happy to see that because Milagro just perpetuated such absolute ludicrous shit. And there have to be consequences for this kind of thing, especially as AI has taken over.
Oh my God, I know. I can't. I'm so done. We have to let people know that Frank Sinatra does have a big dick. Paul Anka has confirmed. They used to go in saunas together, he said, when the Rat Pack, he hung out with the Rat Pack, and he can confirm.
I just, like, the fact that all I knew was that he had blue eyes and the voice of Baby Jesus and didn't know the status of his penis. Yeah. I'm just glad that it's been cleared up.
Finally, we have all the answers.
Yeah, yeah.
To all the questions.
Yeah. Yep. Sienna Miller's pregnant. There's yeah. been a lot of pregnancy announcements.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then JoJo Siwa has a cyst.
She had an ovarian cyst that burst.
Oh, God.
That's and it was like bleeding into her stomach.
Brutally painful, I've heard.
Yeah, she, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scary.
And speaking of scary health stuff, Joey Gladstone has cancer again.
That's so sad.
This is like, it's one of those things that can happen. Like getting treatment for cancer can cause cancer.
Well, of course, because everything causes cancer.
It's like, can you just let people live? He does say that it's totally unrelated to the previous cancer that he had. Mm. But he got a PET scan in October of this year and something flared up. Mm. And it turns out he has cancer on his tongue.
Well, I hope that works out like the first one did. And
yeah,
that sucks.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Give people a break.
Yes, cut it out,
oh,
cancer.
Oh no.
Is that not allowed?
But maybe that could be like a fundraiser.
He could cut it out, cancer. Oh my God, he should. And they should do it like the old style things they used to do on Full House, you know?
What do you
mean? Where like they would do a benefit of some sort and they were always on the Wake Up San Francisco soundstage.
Wake up.
But yeah, I truly wish him nothing but the best. I love Dave Coulier.
All right, that's all we have for quickies. Coming up next, Brooke is going to take us on a memory lane tour down, I don't know where we're going, because we never know until we start hearing the story.
That's right.
Stick around. All right, Brooke, where are we going today?
All right.
Let it be a fun one, please.
It's somewhere we've gone before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little hint. Okay. It's September 13th, 2009 in New York City. Radio City Music Hall is buzzing with the biggest names in music because tonight is the MTV Video Music Awards. This year's VMAs is basically a dedication to Michael Jackson, who passed away almost 3 months ago. As the show gets underway, it's clear that this will be a night to remember. The show's host, Russell Brand, is announced by his future lover, astronaut Katy Perry, and he wastes no time making sexual jokes about her and several other women in attendance. Foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. Janet Jackson performs a tribute to her late brother. Lady Gaga delivers an epic blood-soaked rendition of her song Paparazzi. And if this date and place sounds familiar to you, it might be because this is also the night that Kanye West bum-rushes the stage when Taylor Swift wins the award for Best Female Video. But one attendee misses all of that. 19-year-old Natia Kirkland is running just a little late to tonight's festivities, but she doesn't care. She's just excited to be here. September 13th is her grandma's birthday, and her birth weight was 9 pounds 13 ounces, so 913 is a significant number to her. And she knows that tonight will be one for the books that does the date justice. She arrives at the awards looking pretty casual, in a pair of jeans and a floral tube top. Beyoncé is on stage performing her song Single Ladies as Natia makes her way to row 14 to find her seat. But it turns out one of the cameramen is a friend of hers, and they've worked together many times in Los Angeles. He tells her that he's going to move her to a seat next to Lady Gaga in the second row. Natia is like, no, that's totally okay, I'm fine sitting further back. But he insists. So Natia complies. I mean, who wouldn't want to sit next to Lady Gaga?
Right.
When she gets to her seat, she realizes that not only is she sitting next to Gaga, she's also sitting right behind Beyoncé. Hmm. It's time for the last performance of the night. The first beats of Empire State of Mind play through the theater as Jay-Z and Alicia Keys take the stage. Natia is immediately hyped. She loves this song. It's an anthem to her favorite city. She was born and raised in Brooklyn. It's where her mom gave her the nickname Mama, which later turned into Lil Mama when she got into hip-hop.
Oh.
She can't help but dance along in her seat. But the vibes are vibing. And suddenly, the second row just isn't close enough to the action. She turns to the guy sitting next to her and tells him she's going up on stage. He's like, okay, you do you, and moves out of the way. She walks into the aisle and grabs Beyoncé's hand to try to get her to go up there with her. Beyoncé is absolutely not processing what is happening at all and keeps holding on to Lil Mama's hand until she breaks free and heads to the stage. Once she's up there, she locks eyes with Jay-Z and the two of them start nodding their heads to the beat of the song. Lil Mama feels like the two of them are really connecting as the love of New York flows through them. Jay-Z walks to the front of the stage to finish the song with Alicia as Lil Mama follows behind with her hands in the air. The song ends and all three of them pose with their arms crossed as the crowd cheers. Lil Mama is flying high. She can't believe she was just on stage with two of her idols. But she's the only one flying high, and she doesn't quite realize that until she gets home and rewatches the moment back. In the footage, she sees that Jay wasn't vibing with her. He was backing away from her. In one moment, he even lightly taps on her leg as a way to say, go on, get.
Oh, my God.
She immediately becomes a topic and punchline on social media. The next day, she goes on MTV News to tell her side of the story.
All right. What happened yesterday at the VMAs? What went down?
Well, I'm sitting in my seat, two rows away from the stage, and Jay-Z is walking through this tunnel, and it's just like this whole adrenaline rush is just pumping. He comes on stage, and he's singing New York. And, you know, Alicia Keys is going. She's like, the big lights will inspire you. And really, I got emotional. I actually got emotional. I felt like, yeah, New York, Jay. And I started to feel like, I started to feel him, and I started to feel myself. And I just felt the energy, and I got up, and I started walking towards the stage, and I got up there, and I was just like rooting him on as a champion.
Now, you might be wondering how Jay-Z and Alicia Keys feel about Lil Mama crashing their performance. Alicia didn't even realize it was happening. She was so zeroed in on performing that she didn't see it played out until she watched it back. Jay-Z brought it up to her backstage. Now, Jay-Z, on the other hand, was not pleased. He says that a lot of planning went into that performance, and Lil Mama disrupting was out of line. Then he says, but what am I going to do? Fight Lil Mama? Lil Mama thought that Jay and Alicia would have her back as fellow artists and New Yorkers. And when they don't, she feels hurt and abandoned. Lil Mama's career definitely takes a hit, and she doesn't really do much music after that. In the years since, both Jay and Alicia have said they forgive Lil Mama, and the rest is history. And speaking of history, the 2009 VMAs will go down as one of the most chaotic award shows in pop culture history.
Literally.
The fact that this happened the same night.
I know.
As Kanye and Taylor Swift, I didn't realize. Like, in my memory, I think of them as two separate things.
Yeah. I almost still don't remember this.
Really?
Like I looked up pictures while you were talking, and I was like, oh, that's right, because I just couldn't even visualize it.
Yeah, it's burned in my brain
that it happened the same. Like, what is with bum rushing the stage at this VMAs here?
I know, and it's crazy because she wasn't even there for all of that.
I know.
Like, she came at the end. She's like, well, I'm gonna get the most out of this night.
They're like, oh no, Kanye West 2.0.
Yeah, but there was like a lot of speculation that everyone was drinking, and she has done interviews since, and she was like, I was sober. I was totally sober. I was just feeling the music. I was feeling New York. The city means so much to me. She's like, nobody else was even hyped about that song like I was, but that song meant so much to me. So it's just, I feel bad for her.
Yeah. It's, I can see both sides.
Yeah.
It seems, it's like, just dance in your seat. Like Taylor does. She's really good at dancing to songs without going on stage.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. And a lot of people are like, no, Beyonce was trying to stop you. But she's like, I actually went and grabbed her and said, come with me. She's like, but if she would have, that would have been crazy. And that would have been terrible for her.
Wow. Those VMAs. To have been there I ever get a time machine going, I will travel to those.
Nothing will ever be the VMAs of the 2000s again. Not even the VMAs.
Truly, truly, truly.
Yeah. All right. Regale me.
I'm going to regale you with a story to showcase my loyalty as a friend.
Oh, okay.
So one of my closest friends, Jenna, you know Jenna, I don't think she listens to this. So I guess she's not that close of a friend. Wow. Jenna, if you listen to this, I love you. So she studied abroad in India for, I think it was during our junior semester. We didn't go to the same school, but she studied abroad in India. And she met somebody there. Mm-hmm. And very long story short, because obviously that's her story. The guy that she started dating ended up, they like decided to keep dating when she came back to the United States because he was Indian, still lived in India. He was, I think, a TA maybe. Found out over time that he had been engaging in relationships with other women. And so, like, as friends do, we like, this was the time when Facebook was pure and wonderful.
Yeah.
When it was like, you're only people in college could be on Facebook. Yeah. And, you know, just a wonderful time.
It was just 100 photos of one night of everyone being really drunk.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was the classic. Everyone got so mad at me because I would post the worst photos, if you can believe it.
Oh, that's tough to believe. Yeah.
So she had told me about, you know, and she had shown me pictures of this person that he was now dating because, like, they broke up and he started dating this girl that he had cheated on her with. So fast forward, I don't know how long later, maybe like a year or two, I'm taking a lab class and it was like anatomy. I was either anatomy one or two. This is when I was still trying to be a doctor and doing pre-med.
Yeah.
And it was a night lab class. So I think lab was like at five or six. And so I'm in lab and not paying attention. And I realize, like, somebody comes into the lab. Like, so the TA is leading the lab. And this guy comes into the lab and, like, to talk to her. And I'm, like, looking at him and I'm looking at her. And I'm, like, something's pinging. And in the span of, like, a couple of minutes, I realize that this is the guy my best friend loved, was dating. And had cheated on her. Yeah. And my TA was the girl he was now dating that he had cheated on her with.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So he, like, leaves and I, like, all of this is dawning on me and I'm like, oh, my God. And I was like, I gotta go after this guy. He broke my friend's heart. So I leave lab. Don't even know what's going on. And I was like, he's, like, walking down the hall. I was like, excuse me, are you? And I won't say his name, but I asked him who it was. And he was like, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, hi. Yeah. I'm Jenna's friend. And the look on his face.
I wish he
just
ran.
Dropped. Oh, God. I wish he had
that
to.
That would have been so funny.
And I like confronted him. I was like, what the fuck, man? And I don't even remember like what the conversation followed from that. But I was like, you're a piece of shit. And I think I did go back to lab. And just like the fact that this whole time I've been learning from. And I don't think this girl, they're actually apparently like married with kids now. I don't know what she knew.
Right.
I'm, you know, staunchly after the guys, the person who's cheating, whatever. But I just remember like trying to call Jenna and be like, Jenna. And it was like the one time she wasn't with her phone because she's like you, very good at replying to text messages. And I was just like, I saw him. I was like, I haven't killed him yet, but let me know if you need to. But that's like one of my favorite stories because, I don't know, you cross my friends.
Yeah.
I'll come for you.
Did she even know that he was there?
No.
Or like in America?
No. He must have been, I think at the time he was here on like a student visa or something.
Oh, yeah, probably. Wow.
And it was just like the slow recognition because like. Yeah. You know, back in the day when you'd be like, okay, who are you talking to? And you'd like show pictures like, let me find a good one.
Yeah.
And you just like go through these like Facebook albums of absolute shit photos. Yeah.
Wow.
It felt really good.
So he knows how that poor lady on the cruise felt. Getting run up on by Arisha.
listen, I stand for justice. Uh-huh. I need what's right to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so just don't fuck with my friends and you'll be fine.
Right. Good rule of thumb.
Yeah. All right. Family. That's all we have for you today. It feels so good to be back. We've missed you.
We have missed you.
Next week is when we are cruising. Mm-hmm. So we will just have an episode that we get into some holiday stuff.
Yeah.
Had some fun with that.
Yeah. And answer your questions that you guys sent in.
Yes. So many questions. And we were very excited to answer them. All yes. of them. Nothing got cut.
Yes. Yes,
we're running the show now, baby.
That's right.
You know the drill. Follow us on Patreon. Pick your tier.
Yes.
There's so many of them.
Yep. There's a ton.
Follow us on Instagram, Almost Famous Pod. Our Instagrams at Arisha Skidmore Williams, at Brooke Ziffrin. And if you want to listen to another episode, you can join the Burn Book tier. Got a lot of shit going on over there.
Yep.
Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.